Nothing wrong with clubs, nothing wrong with gatherings, but I'm all about his presence. Amen. Because I am a firm believer that a moment in his presence can change lives, can change history, can change destinies, can change courses. I'm always reminded of the scripture where the young man was on the sick bed and they couldn't get to Jesus for the crowd. The crowd. Those things, you know, sometimes that crowd out Jesus out of your life. And there's sometimes that there are things that crowd out his presence and we seem like we can't get to Jesus for everything else that is enthroned round about us. Anybody ever been there? But I love the story that the scripture said, but when they saw that they could not get to Jesus for the crowd, that somebody went up on a roof. Somebody didn't follow status quo. Somebody didn't follow the bulletin for that morning. Somebody stepped outside of their comfort zone. Somebody saw a need. And somebody said, I think we can rip off that roof and get him to Jesus. Said he had four friends and they carried him on a stretcher. And when they got to where Jesus was in the house, they couldn't get him in there because of the crowd. And they went up on the roof and they tore off the roof and they let him down in to the presence of Jesus. Hallelujah. And I tell you all the time, you don't need a lot of friends, but you need four friends like that. Four friends that are willing to rip off some ceilings, that are willing to tear off some shingles, that are willing to tear up some things. How many know to fix? How many know sometimes you got to tear up some things to fix some things? You ever been there? It gets messy. It gets ugly sometimes. It gets dirty. But when you got to tear up some things, and they tore off the roof and they led him down into Jesus. And when they did, he said, he saw their faith and the man was healed. Hallelujah. I'm thankful this morning that a moment in the presence of Jesus is enough to change lives. It's enough to remodel houses. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you have ever had to do a do-over? Sometimes you just need a do-over. Let's just try that again, right? Hallelujah. And so I'm thankful that a moment in his presence. It's not harsh. It's not hard. It's not have to. It's just easy. The presence of the Lord, my dad used to teach, you know, he'd say, Lisa, you got to try the spirits. You know, you got to see if they're of God. You know, you got to try the spirits. And he'd say, if it's harsh, it's not God. But if it's sweet and it's pleasant, then it's God. I'm thankful that God is a gentleman this morning. He doesn't push his way in. He's not an angry God. He's not a mad God. He's not waiting to catch you in a wrong. He loves you so much that he opened his arms wide open. And the scripture said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Talk about one of the biggest hugs ever. That when Jesus stretched out his arms on the cross of Calvary, that he drew all men unto him. That all people everywhere could receive the forgiveness that he came to offer for us. And so his presence is sweet and it's real and it's alive. And I'm thankful for that today. I want to talk about a thankful heart today. I think. I keep jumping around. And those of you who know me know that notes mean nothing. Scriptures mean nothing. It's hard to tell where we might end up. But, of course it's the week of Thanksgiving, right? Anybody have any turkey this week or have anything good to eat? Or I hope you were thankful regardless. I hope you had a thankful heart. The scripture says that a joyful heart, what? is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. Do you know that joy is healing? Joy is like medicine. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. Hallelujah. We used to sing the song, I got the joy, 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 joy. What? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. We used to sing that. But the joy of the Lord, what is your strength? And I'm thankful that the joy is not just that I put on a precious Jesus face. You know, sometimes we can put on that smile and that precious Jesus face, but inside we're hurting and we're broken and we're scarred and we're putting on a good front from everybody and we've got our mask on. But the scripture says that the joy that the Lord gives, the joy of the Lord is what is my strength. It's what strengthens me from the inside out. How many know joy is not outside in, it's inside out. Hallelujah. And joy is not connected to your circumstances. Did you know that? Your happiness is connected to your happenings or what may be happening around you. But joy is divine. Joy is internal. That you can have joy in your heart. Paul, the great apostle Paul said, I've learned how to abase and I've learned how to bound. But in all things, I've learned to be content where I am. Hallelujah. And you can always find something bigger, something better, something greater than where you are in your life. But if you learn to be content with where you are and what you have, I'm telling you, you will live an empowered life. Don't search for the family you want to have. Minister to the family you have. You can't preach to the congregation you want to have. You got to preach to the one you have. I mean, you got to find the joy in where you are right here and right now in life. It doesn't mean you're not strive for something better or something more. I mean, we all have to be striving for something better and something more. Don't ever give up on your dreams. I don't care if your dreams delay. I don't care if it seems outside of the realm of the possibility. Anybody in here ever received something that seemed like it was impossible but God? Come on, we're probably all here today and could say, I had no idea that God would bring me to where I am, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. I am where I am, and I am who I am, not because of my own strength, but because of the grace of God in my life. Anybody in the house say amen. Hallelujah. So we are so blessed, and we are so thankful this week for just the abundance and the things that God has. And it's not just about things. I said a joyful heart is good medicine. So if a joyful heart is good medicine, then a thankful heart is good therapy. A thankful heart is good therapy. Because sometimes when you get into a state of a state where you are cast down, or a state where you're in despair, a state where you are discouraged, or a state where you are overwhelmed, do you know that counting your blessings or beginning to pronounce blessings over your life will bring you up a little higher? So we have the power of life and death in our tongue. We can either speak blessings and thankfulness, or we can use it to complain and murmur and whine. Right? But you can't worship and whine at the same time. And you can't praise and complain at the same time. So you got to choose which one you want to do, right? The psalmist constantly would say, Psalm 77, the psalmist says, I complained until my soul was overwhelmed. Do you know that's what complaining will do for you? It will overwhelm your soul. It'll add fuel to the fire. And misery loves company. So what do? When we're in misery, we find somebody else who's in misery, because misery loves company. And then we commiserate and we complain together, and then we're both overwhelmed. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know, we have to sometimes be an atmosphere changer. that you got to change atmospheres. You got to change. You might have to do it in your family gatherings. That was quiet. Sometimes the confession of our mouth is powerful. Well, all the time it's powerful. Whether it's good or bad, it's powerful. Do you know your words have power? And what you speak and what you confess sometimes. Though, how many know the word says, if he says I'm salt, then I'm salt. If he says I'm light, then I'm light. If he says I'm blessed, then I'm blessed. If he says I'm the head and not the tail, then I'm the head and not the tail. If he says I'm chosen, I'm chosen. If he says I'm righteous, I'm righteous. If he says I am, then I am. Hallelujah. And sometimes we have to convince ourselves of that. And so we, that's what worship does. Do you realize that's what worship does? It takes the focus off of you and puts the focus on Him. When we sang this morning, we're standing on holy ground. You know, it kind of comes from the scripture with Moses, where Moses stood by the burning bush, and Jesus and God spoke to Moses at the burning bush, and He said, I'm going to send you back to Egypt to deliver the people you just left. While Moses on the backside of the desert keeping sheep and thinking, I'll just be a shepherd the rest of my life. How many know sometimes we get in a place of comfort and a place that seems safe, and we think we want to just take up residence right there and just stay right there. But God shows up in the middle of your backside of the desert, and all of a sudden the bush is on fire, and He starts to say some crazy stuff like, I'm going to raise you up out of here. I'm going to send you back to Egypt, and I'm going to cause you to bring a great deliverance to those people. Because you're standing right now on holy ground. You know, holy ground is just a kairos moment. That wherever you stand in Christ, we stand on holy ground in virtue of who He is, not virtue of who we are. And God began to speak and say, you're standing on holy ground. This is a turnaround moment. Hallelujah. How many know God was about to pull out of Moses what He didn't even know was in there? The best thing you can do in your life is find somebody that'll pull out of you something you didn't know was in there. That'll start pronouncing things over you that God has purpose and God has destiny and God has vision for your life. It don't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter where you've been. Moses started to say, but I'm not eloquent of speech. I can't talk well. I have trouble with words. Anybody ever had trouble with their words? And I don't know how to do what you want me to do, Lord. He said, that's okay. I'm going to send you an errand. Thank God for the Aarons that stand along beside you, can minister together and bring forth the purpose and plan of God in your life. So there are times when there are kairos moments, and they may seem like chaos, but God can turn your chaos into kairos moments and make something good of what seems like there is nothing. Hallelujah. Thankfulness is a choice. Let it guard your heart through every situation, every holiday, every family affair, every event. And when I was pausing and thinking about what I wanted to share today, I thought about working on a sermon called Permission Granted. And the thought behind that was, you know, we get ready to go into the holiday season and Christmas and all of that, and you may either love it or hate it. Depending on where you approach it from, it might be good for you, it might be bad for you, it might be good and bad for you, I don't know. But you know, part of the problem is we come into it thinking we are pressured to do what everybody else does or the way everybody else does it. Or if my family don't look like that family, or if we don't all look like the Leave It to Beaver at Christmas time or Thanksgiving, then somehow we've missed out. And so we have this pressure to keep up with the Joneses and do all these things that we think everybody else does. But I just want to tell you this morning, permission granted to do it the way you want to do it. And if you don't want to do it, it's okay. Because we feel pressured sometimes to fit in somebody else's mold or somebody else's vision of what it should look like, right? And then we feel this pressure and we get overwhelmed and we get discouraged and despaired and we push ourselves to do things we probably shouldn't do. And then all of a sudden, what should be joyous and happy becomes a burden and it becomes a challenge and it becomes stressful. Amen. So it's permission granted to just do what your heart says is right. And to do it the way you want to do it, and the way your family wants to do it, and the way God has designed you to be. Sometimes we can be pressured to fit in everybody else's mold, to do things the way this person does it or that person does it. But aren't you thankful that the Lord sees us each as his own handiwork? And he has designed us with talents and giftings and treasures that are different from everybody else. And that's what makes the body of Christ so unique and so powerful. But in Psalms 100, 1 through 5, it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. It's a powerful portion of scripture. Hallelujah. It's a powerful portion of scripture. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting. Can somebody say amen for the everlasting mercy of the Lord in our lives? That even when I'm not merciful, he's still merciful. He's still graceful when I'm not walking in grace. The Message Bible says it like this. Psalms 100, 1 through 5. On your feet now, applaud God. Bring a gift of laughter. Sing yourself into his presence. Know this, God is God, and God, God. He made us. We didn't make him. We're his people, his well-tended sheep. Enter with the password. About to tell you the password this morning. Thank you. Somebody say thank you. Brother Maldonado, you should say thank you. That's the password. Enter with the password, thank you. Make yourselves at home talking praise. Thank him. Worship him, for God is sheer beauty, all generous in love, loyal always and ever. I don't know if that's the God you've always known of or the God you've always heard of, but I'm going to tell you that's what the word says that he is. He is always loving, always gracious, and always merciful. I'm so thankful that we can come to the arms of a loving Father and receive grace and mercy. Anybody ever had to fall down before him and just allow God to sweep you up in his arms and to embrace you and to love on you and to dry your tears and to wipe away your sorrows and say, Lord, here I am, gracefully broken. You know, Lex did the dance here, said, here I am, Lord, gracefully broken. And I'm thankful for the grace of God that even in our brokenness, that God can take the pieces of our life and the pieces of our heart and put them back together in such a way that he restores my soul, that he brings hope and health and life to my heart and to my being. But he said, that's how we enter his gates in thanksgiving and praise. He said, enter with a password, thank you. Thank you. Because thankfulness will raise you up out of a place of despair. It'll bring you up to a higher level when you begin to be thankful, not for what you want, but for where you are and what you have. Probably all of us, and I can hand the mic all the way around the room this morning, and you could give a testimony of something that you're thankful for. Anybody in the room ever been healed before? Felt God's healing power. Anybody in the room ever been saved before? Had your life changed through the power of Jesus? Hallelujah. Anybody got ever in the room ever had God intervene in your finances and just show up with miracles and just do a blessing right in the middle of the finances? We have so much to be thankful for and so much to give God glory for. But I want to go to Luke chapter 17 this morning. Luke chapter 17 and verse 11. I'm going to read it out of the Message Bible, but she can put it up in King James or whatever she has it on back there. But it says, It happened that as he made his way towards Jerusalem, he crossed over the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, 10 men, all lepers, met him. They kept their distance, but raised their voices, calling out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Taking a good look at them, he said, "Go show yourself to the priest." They went, and while still on their way, became clean. One of them, when he realized that he was healed, turned around and came back, shouting his gratitude, glorifying God. He kneeled at Jesus' feet, so grateful. He couldn't thank him enough, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus said, "Were not 10 healed? Where are the 9? Come, can none be found to come back and give glory to God except this outsider?" Then he said to him, "Get up on your way. Your faith has healed and saved you." So Jesus is on his way through Galilee to Jerusalem, and he crossed over between Samaria and Galilee. You know, Jesus had this little habit of passing through Samaria as he passed over through Samaria. And it's we read that and we kind of think that, you know, okay, it was just a region and he passed through. But do you know that the Samaritans were considered strangers, outcast, and unclean to the Jewish mindset and to those in Jerusalem? But Jesus had this uncanny sense about passing over through Samaria, where the people who were considered outcast and unclean and Samaritans hung out. I mean, Jesus is not afraid of your spots this morning. He's not afraid of your leprosy. And so there were 10 men and they cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, Master, have mercy on us." And do you know that in that culture, if you had leprosy, you could not, you were excommunicated. You had to stay out away from the multitude of people. And if anybody came close to you, you had to say, "Leprosy, unclean, stay back. I'm polluted. I'm contagious." And so what happened is they would be afar off, but they saw Jesus and they cried out, "Jesus, have mercy on us." And it says, and Jesus, looking at them, said, "Go and show yourself to the priest and be healed." I mean, sometimes it's simply obedience that will bring the greatest healing in your life. Because you can sit wherever you are in life and say, "I'm broken, I'm unclean, I'm spotted, I've got leprosy, I don't fit in with all those other folks." Or you can begin to cry out and say, "Jesus, I want change in my life. I want something to change in my life. I want to be whole. I want to be healed. I want to be able to touch people again. I want to be able to be touched." How many know sometimes we shut ourselves off from people and don't allow ourselves to be touched by people because sometimes it seems like it's too hard, too risky. It seems like we've got to separate ourselves sometimes and say, "Well, I might not fit in with those church folk, or I might not fit in with those village people because I have spots, I'm broken, or I'm hurting." But Jesus just began to speak to them and he said, "Go and show yourself to the priest." Because in that day, you had to be pronounced clean by a priest to be able to enter back into your community or back into your village. I mean, sometimes you need to find somebody who will father you, who would speak deliverance into your life and to be able to introduce you back into life as you know it. Aren't you thankful for the people that gave you a hand up and not a hand out? See, I'm all about hands up and not hands out. Because a hand out, what happens is people don't learn and they just come back for another hand out. But if you ever give somebody a hand up and said, "I can help you come up out of that place where you're in and you can be restored and healed and whole. You don't have to live here and stay here. I don't want to just put a band-aid on what you have. I want to make you whole from head to toe. I want to touch you from the inside out. I want to make you new. I want to make you whole. I want to make you healed." Hallelujah. And the scripture said, and as they went, or in their journey, healing began to take place. How many of you in here this morning can say, in my journey with the Lord, healing has begun to take place in my life. There's many things in my life that God has brought a healing, but it has been a process of time, and it's been a process of allowing myself to be pliable and moldable in the presence of the Lord, where I could release things that kept me broken, and I could allow myself to be healed in the journey of this thing that we call life. Hallelujah. And in their obedience and in their journey of walking, all of a sudden they realized, hey, you know what? There's something different about me. Something's changing. Something's moving. Something's shaking. Something's shifting in me. And God is bringing healing into my life. And the scripture said, and when he realized that he had been healed, he turned. He returned and came back to give God glory and came back to give him honor. He came back with a password and said, thank you. He came back to say, I have a heart of gratitude. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for touching me. Hallelujah. I didn't just come today because I wanted to hear it, feel his presence. I didn't just come today because I have to. I didn't just come because I'm the preacher and they expect you to do that. I came because I wanted to say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for life. Thank you for health. Thank you for peace of mind. Thank you for your bounty of blessings in my life. His presence is so overwhelming. His gifts are so overwhelming. His life inside of you is so overwhelming that I had to come today with a password and say, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your healing. And he said, and he returned and came back to give God praise. It's not a chore to return back to the feet of the one who healed you and begin to give him praise and honor. He deserves our praise. He's so worthy of our praise. It's not a chore for me to praise the Lord. It's not work for me to worship. It's not a challenge. It doesn't cut into my time to take some time and say, Lord, I thank you for who I am, for where I am, for your bounty of blessings in our lives. He said, one of them realized that he was healed and turned around. How many know God will give you a turnaround moment? And he came back and shouting his gratitude, glorifying God, he kneeled at Jesus' feet, so grateful. He couldn't thank him enough, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus said, we're not 10 healed. Where are the 9? Can none be found to come back and give glory to God except this outsider? Then he said to him, get up. On your way, your faith has healed and saved you. Hallelujah. He calls him an outsider, the Samaritan, because he was an outsider. And, you know, when we think about the story of the Samaritan, we have to think about the woman at the well who is in Samaria and the Samaritan woman. And the scripture says that Jesus, as the disciples were going to buy food, Jesus said, but I have a need to pass through Samaria. And when he comes through Samaria, you know the story. There's a little woman at the well, and she's dipping water like she's done every other day of her life. And she's worn a path from the village where she lived and to the well to carry water back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And finally today she comes to the well, and there's a man sitting on her well. And when she approaches him, he says to her, woman, give me a drink of water. And she realizes that he's a Jew, and she said, you being a Jew would ask of me, a Samaritan and a woman, to give you a drink? He said, ma'am, if you'll give me a drink, I'll give you a drink of water that you'll never thirst again. And she said, where's your bucket? You don't even have a bucket to draw from this well. What kind of crazy talk are you talking about? Where is your bucket? You asking for me a drink, a Samaritan woman? He said, go ahead and ask me, and I'll give you a drink that you'll never thirst again. And the scripture says that she said, you know, our fathers Jacob dug this well, and it's a very deep well. And, you know, Jacob's well was, Jacob, we know, was the deceiver, the trickster, the supplanter. And when you drink from the well of that, it is a very deep well. But Jesus said, if you'll just ask me for a drink, I'll give you a drink of water and you'll never thirst again. And so she began to talk with him because all of a sudden this man who went out of his way, you know, Sister Jenny told us this morning, Jesus crossed some troubled seas to get to the other side because there were people waiting on him on the other side that needed healing, that needed hope, and needed delivered. I mean, sometimes he had to walk on the water to get there. And if Jesus has to walk on the water to get to you, I'm telling you, he might come in your night season and it might scare you at the beginning. I mean, no, they saw him and they were afraid. And Jesus would say, peace, be still. But he said on her well, and as he's given her a drink, and she says, she begins to say, you know, conversation with him. And he says to her, go call your husband. And she said, well, I don't have a husband. He said, I know you've had 5 husbands and the one you're with is not your husband. And he said, and she said, all of a sudden says, sir, I perceive you're a prophet. She's pretty perceptive, isn't she? You must be a prophet. You just read my book. You know all about me. What are you doing sitting on my well today? You know I'm a Samaritan. You know I've had 5 husbands. You know the state of my life that it's in right now. But thank God for the day he set on my well. Can anybody say thank God for the day that he set on my well and said, I want to give you a drink of something that you have never drank before. I don't just want to give you a drink today, my dear. I want to make you a well. I want to put in your belly a well of living waters so that you will never thirst again, that out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And wherever we release that flow of the river of God inside of us, it will bring life. Because here's what happened when she realizes that he wants to make her an artesian well. He wants to put living water inside of her. She immediately goes back to her village and says, you got to come see a man who told me all things ever I did. I think today I have met the Messiah. See, when Jesus ever, if he ever brings change into your life, if he ever gives you a drink, you can't just keep it inside of you because all of a sudden now it's like an artesian well. Dan and I had the privilege of going to Yellowstone National Park a couple years ago, and we got to see Old Faithful and the big geyser that shoots up out of the ground, right? If you ever get to see it, it's powerful. We saw it on our 35th anniversary, I think it was. And Dan stood beside that Old Faithful geyser, and I said, there's 2 Old Faithfuls right there. My husband of 35 years and that you know, fountain that shoots up out of the ground. But, I mean, it's powerful. And it's just like I don't know who it takes its command from, but it just shoots up out of the ground. And it's an artesian, I mean, it's a powerful spout of water. But, you know, when I think about Jesus said, I don't want to just give you a drink, ma'am. I want to make you like that Old Faithful geyser. I want water just shooting up out of you. I want you to be a resource and a fountain. And I want you to be that every place you go, there's just fountains of living water shooting out of you. That anybody around you has to get in the splash zone. Now, you know, sometimes you might have to get in the splash zone of somebody else until you allow God to pop the cork on that river of life that's inside of you and cause it to shoot out of you. And when he does, it brings life. Let me tell you, you cannot stop that up. You can't stop that up because the force, internal force of it's more powerful than the external circumstances around it. She said, come see a man who told me all things ever I did. I think I have met the Messiah. I want you to know this morning the Messiah has the power to change you from the inside out, to make you ever whit whole, to make you of, he's the Song of Solomon talks about a spring shut up and a fountain sealed. But when he releases that out of you, it's powerful and it's precious and it's healing. Hallelujah. And it will touch you from the inside out. But he said, this stranger, this Samaritan, has returned back to give me glory. Where are the 9? I don't know about you, but But I don't want to be the nine this morning. I don't want to fail to miss an opportunity to give God the glory that he receives for the bounty of healing and wholeness that he can bring to every one of our lives, that no matter where you approach him from, broken, spotted, outcast, whole, healed, whatever, that when we come into his presence, there is fullness of joy. And that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, and a thankful heart is good therapy. Hallelujah. I could have started out this morning by telling you some of y'all in here need therapy. I'm first in line. Sometimes I need therapy. Sometimes the best therapy is putting on a little bit of praise and worship and just let God just minister to your heart. I picked up Angie this morning, one of our favorite songs playing on the radio. We could have had church right there in her driveway. Because it just ministers to your heart. It lifts your spirit to another level. And it takes your focus off of me and puts your focus on him. And when you do that, he can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can even ask or think. Amen. Stand to your feet with me this morning. He's so worthy to receive our praise. I give him honor for all that he's done, even in this service this morning. Because I believe that when we ask in faith, believing that God is able to move mountains, I believe he's able to change hearts. He's able to change rudders of ships. He's able to change your direction. He's able to change your family. He's able to change your job, your finances, whatever it might be this morning. So I just want to take a moment as our kids are coming in to just have some moment. I just want you to give some honor to God today. Just take a moment and give him thanks. Give him thanks. You know, I when my kids left and I prayed over them before they went home, I didn't say, Lord, please keep my kids safe. Well, I did say that too. But I said, thank you, Lord, that you're going to keep my kids safe on the way home. Thank you that you're going to make provision in my home. I've started not just asking God for things. I've just started thanking him for them. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to bring to pass those things that I have desired, or those things that I have cried out for. I thank you. I'm going to go ahead and thank you in advance today. Hallelujah. I thank you in advance for what you're doing, what you have done, what you're doing, and what you're going to do in my life in Jesus' name.